Let's pray before we turn to the reading in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 to 9. Let me first offer a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us now at this moment of part of our worship service. Please speak to us and anoint my lips, O Lord, and hide me behind thy cross, that I will not be seen, O Lord, but may you be seen and heard speaking to thy people. Bless every word that will be spoken tonight, Lord. May your name be exalted in our hearts and grant us a teachable spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 1 Peter 1 to 9, and we will be focusing on verse 9. Because you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Dearly beloved, these are the description of God's chosen people, those who walk in his kingdom. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, so that we may proclaim the excellencies of whom who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is a marvelous moment to think about these glorious truths, how God describes us after he saved us from the pit of sin into his glorious light, which is the light of men chosen by God to live the gospel and proclaim the gospel in their lives, wherever they live, in whatever situation. To begin with, in ancient Israel, there were 12 distinct tribes. You know all those 12 tribes, I'm sure. If not all, but maybe some, you can recall them. There are 12 distinct tribes of Israel, but not all were equal, nor did all have the same responsibility and authority. As God's people, we have all different gifts, and we perform them on a different level of commitment, different level of enthusiasm and faithfulness. And also we have different responsibility, but they are all the giftings of God through the Holy Spirit in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish the great purposes of the proclamation of the gospel, so that those who are unsaved within the country and around the world where the gospel is being preached will have these people, these unsaved people, will have the chance to hear the gospel and be saved. So the tribe of Levi stood distinct. It's different. They are different from the rest of the tribes because they mediated, they preached the gospel, God's truth to the people. Only descendants of Levi were permitted to serve as priests. When King Saul intruded into the priestly function, which he is not responsible for, he was punished severely because he did not wait on God's servant Samuel to come after 7 days. He cannot wait. And so what he's not supposed to do, he did it by his own desires to please man rather than God. And he was punished severely, and God refused to let him to continue as Israel's king, first king. And he raised up another man, which is after God's own heart, which is David. Yeah. So that's what happened on the background. As we continue about the services of the Levitical people, we can compare now in the church, there are no special priestly classifications in the church. The reformers, as you know, the reformers like Baxter, Watson, Chalmers, and those who have been Daniel Roland, and many others, which you can probably think at this moment, they were all put to prison and die as martyrs. So these reformers uncovered the great biblical doctrine of the priesthood of all believers, which means every true believers in Christ are a small priest in God's name to proclaim or mediate the word of truth to where God put us or place us. The Apostle Peter in this 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, identifies all Christians as royal priesthood, a royal priesthood. Every believer is to mediate God's truth. In other words, share the truth, preach the truth, and live the truth. Functioning as a priest in dispensing, in sharing and proclaiming the word of God in season and out of season. We must share it always, always, all the time. Whereas, only the priest could approach God in the Old Testament economy or dispensation. In the New Testament, every believer may draw near with a confidence to the throne of grace. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. All New Testament believers may enter the holy place, as it were, by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10, 19. We'll go back to that verse a bit later. How can we serve? Is the question. How can we serve as New Testament priests in comparison to the Old Testament Levitical priest? In contrast to the Old Testament priests, church are in our church age or in the New Testament or New Covenant times, in Christ's time, the New Testament church, believers do not offer dead animals like the priest, Old Testament priest, or the Levitical priest. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Let me just read that verse to you in Romans 12:1, because it's very important to focus on that so that we will know what kind of sacrifice it is. This is the exhortation of Paul to the Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, my brethren, verse 1 of chapter 12 of Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect in the sight of God. As members of the church, all believers are priests. We are small priests. We are expected offering intercessory prayers as we do during the week, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. There are a few members of the church who join us at 6 o'clock and on Sunday at 8 o'clock, on Saturday at 7 o'clock. Now, how can we serve as the priests of God in the New Testament? We must offer ourselves as living sacrifice to God. As members of the church, all believers are priests offering intercessory prayers for government leaders, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We must also pray for missionaries in reaching out to the lost ones, according to Acts 13, verse 3. We must also pray for the sick. We're commanded in James chapter 5, verse 15, that we must call the church and lay hands on the sick so that the fervent prayer of the righteous will avail much. When sins are forgiven and confessed to God. We also continue to pray that our suffering. In Acts 12, verse 5, this verse particularly shows us how Paul, how Peter was imprisoned. Yeah? And he is in prison so that when God's people prayed for him, he was released miraculously. And those that are ministering in Ephesians 6:19, Paul is asking them to pray so that God will give him the right powerful words in preaching the gospel to reach out to the lost. Are we praying for our ministers, for our evangelists, for our missionaries in reaching out, in preaching the word? Remember, it matters a lot that God will give the right words, the powerful words from the Holy Spirit. We are also to offer sacrifice, praising God with our lips, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. But praise is not devoid of deeds. In other words, it's not just prayer alone. There must be an action that goes with our prayer. It's not just praying for somebody who's sick without visiting them, without offering any practical help. The kindness of the Philippians were a fragrant aroma to God, according to Philippians 4, verse 18. When the gifts from the Philippian church to meet the Apostle Paul's need, he called them a fragrant aroma, acceptable to God. See, when we give gifts to God, they're not just there to attract people's attention that we give a lot. No. They must go along with prayer that gift will meet that need to preach the gospel and meet the other financial needs of the God-sent messenger. As priests, we declare God's excellencies for having delivered us out of darkness into God's light. That is in our text, which I would like to read again to you. Chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, a stone, that's verse 8. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's how we are in the sight of God. And yet, as we look into them one by one, briefly later, let me say this to you. If you are a child of God, you are a New Testament priest. Are you fulfilling your priestly duties? You know, we can easily proclaim to the world that we are believers in Christ. that we are Christian, that we are a disciple of Christ, or disciple of someone whom the Lord Jesus Christ used to bring you to the kingdom of God? Are we doing our priestly duties in visiting the sick, in proclaiming the gospel, in praying for God's work? You know, it can be easily, each one of us can easily say to all people that we are believers, that we are Christian. But it can be really easy to be known as Christian and not live like one. That's the trial. That's the test. We can proclaim as Christian, but how do we live? Do we live according to the truths given to us? As given to us as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession? We are not careful in living the Christian life. We can easily drift away. We can forget how valuable our faith is and how glorious our Lord Jesus Christ in giving us that salvation, which demands our life and our all and everything in us. Chances are people aren't going to be persecuted if they say, I'm a Christian. That's it. They are not willing to experience the extra mile of being persecuted. They can easily give up when they are persecuted. That's why it's just a simple testimony. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a Christian. So it's easy to say it and not live it. That's the problem. The danger is very subtle, and it's still dangerous. It's hard for us to be sober-minded, not because of persecution, but because we get so much drowsy with the entertainment of this world. It's hard to hope fully in the grace of God because there are a lot of really lesser things. That's not important. That's what it means. Lesser things. That's not so much important that we can bring our attention, unnecessarily bring our attention to them. And that's dangerous. Maybe you have professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for so many years, but have found it difficult to follow through, to live the right Christian life, because it involves commitment and total surrender to God's will. Maybe you are finding it hard to be a Christian right now. Let's face it. It's difficult to live the standard of living the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of his followers. He is perfect God. The Lord Jesus Christ never committed a sin. And yet he expects his people to follow his footsteps. That's why the fruits of the Holy Spirit is given to us, that we might bring those fruits to show forth the life of Christ in our lives. If this difficulty or struggle as a Christian right now is your portion, let us remember who we are, whom we represent. First of all, you are a chosen royal, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own profession, possession. That's all. There are four of them. Chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, and people of his own possession, of God's own possession. But how does these titles as true believers affect our mindset, faith in Christ? If this is how we are described by these four terms, chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, God's possession, do we live them according to the standard that our Lord Jesus Christ expect of us. Well, I'll briefly share to you that about the first title that we are described, that we are given that title. You are a part of a chosen race. You did not choose Christ. This is where people make mistakes. You did not choose Christ, but God has chosen you in Christ. How can we choose first God or Christ in the first stage of our response to the gospel? Unless the Holy Spirit, because He must breathe life to us as dead person in sin. As dead person in sin, we cannot respond and choose God. The Holy Spirit must breathe life, spiritual life, to make us aware of our lost condition in sin. That's why we are a chosen race. According to the U.S. Bureau, Census Bureau, there are 5 official races that people can choose. First, they are white, the purely white, the African American, the American Indian, that's the third, Asian, and the Pacific Islanders. Yeah, there are 5. Those are the general categories of races. Perhaps we also have those categories in Britain. But God, remember this, but God calls His people from all races and create a new race, a new chosen race of God, which is God's redeemed people. Okay? We all come from different backgrounds. So we must be thankful that God made us part of His chosen race by His grace and mercy in Christ Jesus. So when you become a Christian, you don't lose your racial distinctiveness. You become a part of a new transcendent race, chosen race of God that's made of every race around the world. Only one chosen race, chosen by God. And that's where we belong. But we don't lose our distinctiveness as members of any nation. We're still part of our nation, where we belong. It's not defined by ancestry or skin color, but by the chosenness which we have in Christ Jesus. It's defined by the fact that God has chose you, not you chose God. God chose us before the foundation of the world. Okay? I hope that's clear. Because if anyone can choose God, nobody will be lost, right? Because we can choose God anyway. But the fact is, we are all dead in trespasses and sins. And we cannot choose God in that state. By His mercy and grace, God has chosen us and saved us from the pit of hell and sin through Jesus Christ's precious blood. The second one is that you are not only part of a chosen race, but you are a part of a royal priesthood. When it is hard to be a Christian, the next thing Peter writes is that you are a part of a royal priesthood. This biblical sense of priesthood brings to mind 2 things: the privilege to access the throne of God's grace. Mm-hmm. Access. Just like the Israelites priest in the Old Testament, a Christian is granted access to God, entrance to the presence of God. Through Jesus Christ, you can access God, you can hear from His word, and talk to Him in prayer. And secondly, the word sacrifice. Also, just like the Old Testament priest, Levitical priest, we have sacrificial duties to perform as Christians. But they are not animal sacrifices. Instead, we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let's remember those truths as royal, part of royal priesthood. And then the third one, and according to 1 Peter 2:9, you are a part of a holy nation, a holy nation. When it is hard to be a Christian, remember that you are a part of a holy nation. We are not part of the wicked world. Although we are still in this world, but we belong to heaven, heavenly citizenship. Our citizenship is still in this world, but our new life in Christ, we have now a new citizenship, which is in heaven. That's why we are called a holy nation. Holy nation. And because we are a holy nation, we are expected by our head of the church, our Redeemer, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord Jesus Christ, to lead a holy life. God is pulling together a nation from all different nations. That's why the gospel has to be preached to all nations, not only from Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, but to the uttermost part of the earth. And God is calling nation to be part of that chosen race. Elsewhere in the Bible, it's called the kingdom of God. We heard the kingdom of God a while ago in the book of Daniel, that the kingdom of God is where God sits on the throne, is overruling every event in this world. Whereas those earthly kingdoms, they are to observe, they are to serve and obey God. So God is overruling every event of every government. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are a holy people set apart for God's specific purpose. You find that you have a deeper mutual trust and friendship with a fellow Christian. From Mexico or Middle East than you do with your non-Christian neighbor from your own neighborhood. This is because of what the Apostle Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians. Let me just drive that to you quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. This is what it says. And you forget this truth. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. That's 1 Corinthians 6, sorry. 1 Corinthians 1. I think I pressed the wrong button. A verse. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. So the cross of Christ is always related to our witness. And therefore, our fellowship with other believers, whether they are outside of UK or within the UK, we have a responsibility to remember them and to support them in prayer. Because this relationship is a shared citizenship in God's kingdom. And because this is a shared citizenship in God's kingdom, we must not neglect those fellow brothers and sisters whom God has saved in Christ Jesus. And then lastly, you are a part of God's, of a people for God's own possession. We are the possession of God. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. Okay? That's why when it is hard to be a Christian, remember that you are a part of a people for God's own possession. Of course, God possesses everything. He owns everything. What's different about this is that Christians recognize that ownership, that we are owned by God. We were purchased by a precious blood from the pit of hell and wicked sin. And we must celebrate that with thankfulness and humility whenever we come to God in praises and thanksgiving. We don't praise God for the material things first, that's secondary. But we praise God for the salvation that He gave us, which is despite of our many sins. He did not punish us of our sin according to what our sin deserved. He let His Son, Jesus Christ, to be punished for our sin. That's how we should thank God, forever not only faithful, but forever grateful to God for this privilege to be called His own people. And we must celebrate that with thanksgiving in our hearts, so that as we are aware and move on in our struggle, when your love for others, Christian, becomes cool, or sometimes it does not persistently grow bigger and wider, but it cools down, what are we to remember? We must remember that we are all part of a chosen race. In other words, we are linked to one another. We are one family. In our own family, we really care for one another, isn't it? We do care, especially we are members of one household of faith. But even those who are not yet fully surrendered in their life as the family of God, members of the family of God in the church, we should also continue to care for one another and shower them with prayerful support and encouragement, and share the gospel and live the gospel as an example, so that those members of our own family who are not yet saved can see the evidence of the work of God's grace in our lives. So when deceit, hypocrisy, or envy, or something else sets into your life, or in our lives, remember that you are a royal priesthood. You are a member of a royal priesthood. And when you lose taste of God's word, or find that you have begun to build your own life on something other than Jesus, other than Jesus Christ, remember that you are a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. What does it mean to you that you are a part of a chosen race, a royal member of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession? As I mentioned to you a while ago, this is the challenge of this privilege of being a chosen people of God. Let's go back to what Hebrews, and this is the final verse that I'm going to share with you. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh, and since we have a great priest, that's our Lord Jesus Christ, over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering. What are those confessions of our hope? These are what we mentioned a while ago, that we are God's chosen people. Yeah, we are a people of God's own possession. We are part of a holy nation. And we are part of a holy priesthood. And we are part of a chosen race. This is our picture. This is the reality that God is looking at us, perceiving of us. These are the truths that God called us. And therefore, we must hold on, he said, to this profession of our hope. And what are we doing with being a holy nation, a chosen race, a holy priesthood, and God's own possession? These are marvelous to claim, and the truth that God is showing us in his sight. And look at those who have been knighted by the queen. They're not just knighted by the queen just to display. They are expected to show that they were honored because of not just their accomplishment, but to be a good model to the rest of the country. You must be a good model. And we are called a chosen race, member of a holy priesthood, God's own possession, and a holy nation. We are called this, but are we living according to the standards expected of us? Remember, God can make it happen to live such in this generation. May God bless us and claim this truth to walk as God save us according to those plans and terms who we are in the sight of God. Amen.
Amen.